someone else's journey is our lesson.
We used to say, the difficult we do immediately, the impossible just takes a little more time.
Someone else's lesson is our gift.
I believe part of our responsibility is really to equip and inspire our students to ask those difficult questions.
Be encouraged by the stories that lift us all.
I came to Howard because I wanted to be the President of the United States.
Somebody saw something in me, and it's my duty to be that person for somebody else.
Now, join Dr. Wayne Frederick, President of Howard University, and his guest on The Journey.
He calls what happened to him blind magic. Everyone else calls it amazing. Ibrahim Onofeko is on a mission that has brought him to the United States, taken him into uncharted territory, and earned him the respect of an academic community. He manipulates with ease despite what some call limitations and has redefined what we mean when we say possibilities. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest today on The Journey is senior Howard University honor student Ibrahim Onofeko. How are you?
I'm doing very well, sir. Good afternoon.
So tell our listeners a little bit about where you were born and raised.
Born of Yoruba descent in Nigeria, Oluwole Ogba, to be precise. I was born with cataract and nearsightedness, and I grappled with that growing up in Nigeria. And as I would say, time unfolds and I grew, I would say I engaged in different medical procedure just to see that the vision was improved, but it was more of one step forward, two step backwards, as it was getting worse with each and every medical procedure. However, I hoped that everything would get better. I'd had a surgery way back in 1993 when I was 8 years old. And afterward, the vision was worse, and my mom was like, okay, she's not going to let the doctor continue with the medical procedure. So we stopped. But until 2005, 2006, I decided to go against the grain and just go back under the knife to see how the vision could be improved. And
all right. And so in 2006, you had another operation to attempt to improve your eyesight?
Yes.
And what was the result of that operation?
The result of the operation made the vision worse as well. And then I was recommended this thick lens glasses.
Now, as you were navigating your day-to-day life at that time in terms of not just getting around, but being able to go to school, basically get the information that you needed for your education, etc. How did you set up your days so that you were able to do that and do that so successfully? Because obviously you end up here at Howard University.
My mom would tell me, she will always speak one, she will speak this Yoruba. It states that I was speaking in Yoruba. Meaning he whom people are looking doesn't look. You just got to keep doing whatever you're doing. So I never had that time to even worry about the vision. It's a challenge where I grew up. I grew up in Oluwole, Lagos, Nigeria, Ogba. There, it's a competition. You compete on everything. And up till today, I do push up in the morning. I see if I'm competing with somebody. I have to do up to like 100 push-ups in the morning. So 2007, I stayed permanently at Abuja, and I started college over again from 2006 to 2009. I was moving on to my year three, studying sociology at the University of Abuja. My mom went to apply for visa for us to come here because my uncle wanted us to come and see if the vision could be rectified.
And so you learned some mobility skills as well while you were here at Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind. in terms of getting around and navigating your day-to-day, as well as you use the DC Public Library to learn your computer skills. What were those two things like in terms of making you more independent in your day-to-day?
You know, that was after when Division had left. I came in the country singing. I could still see when I came in 2009. The vision was worse, but I could see I don't even move around with the cane. So getting here, I mean, the vision leaving a year after I stepped in the States. While the vision was leaving, I just felt like, I guess, yes, it's the blindness is coming. And in my mind, I just prepared myself for it, sort of. And someone recommended me to Columbia Lighters for the Blind and DC Public Library. And I started learning how to, first as writing Braille from Hadley School for the Blind in Chicago. So I learned back and forth through mail. So I learned through mail. I would get the instructions and everything and exercise through mail, and I would send my responses back. And that way, in the process, while doing all of that, I started going to Martin Luther King Library, on the DC Public Library right there on 9th Street, where I learned to use computer without vision. And the process of that was when I started learning how to move around with the cane as well. Those three things that I just mentioned are the things that helped me today, because I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, because I can't wait for someone to get things done for me. I've found it in life to me that the only thing that can get you to where you want to be is when you step in the driver's seat yourself and just zoom. Because if you're staying right there in the passenger seat, maybe you're riding shotgun or whatever, look, you have to be at the mercy of the driver. So I took matters into my hand, because then they were like, you're going to get lost. I'm like, yeah, if I get lost, I'm getting lost in the process of getting found. So if I get lost, you guys are going to find me on the TV at some point or on the radio like, oh, there is this tall blind guy called Abraham in Africa. He's trying to find his way back home. And I just make fun of it with my uncles and aunt. And I learned gradually, because I learned the city by just going around. I started going from Maryland to the DC Public Library, and some days are good, some days are bad, but I took everything on the chin, because I had nothing to me. I couldn't fall back on anything. Coming to the country with my vision leaving me, it's like I lost everything. I left school at year three to come here. On getting here, my friends are not around. My life, the life I used to live, is not there. The things I used to do, I couldn't do them. I mean,
And with that, you also embraced the fact that you wanted to continue your education. And why media journalism and film with an audio concentration?
I fell in love with radio way back in Nigeria. And I've always listened to a lady who's more like one of my radio goddesses, Nike Coker. So I fell in love with radio then. And when I came in the country and they're like, you're not going back, this, that, and the other, I was like, okay, I think I'll have to look into mass communication since I'm starting afresh. And after learning how to move around with the cane, learning the use of computer and how to read and write in Braille, I thought of it. That is not my only life. I've got to kind of find something that I could make a living off. And I couldn't find anything around, but school is all I've ever known. So I told myself I've got to go back to school and find a way to be an accomplished broadcaster. So I enrolled back in Prince George's Community Prince George's Community College way back 2013. With that, I made sure I kept my grade above 3.5 and went on the registrar, Miss Porter, the registrar at Howard, Miss Porter, came to Prince George's Community College that wonderful afternoon and was talking about the courses that are available that one could take to be a broadcaster and honor personality. I was just like, is there any program that has to do with audio radio production? And she said, it's audio production.
That's excellent. Now, as we close, you are an accomplished rower. How did you get introduced to rowing, of all things?
Rowing came into my life from going to the Y on 17th and Rhode Island way back. I started going there 2011, 2012 with some other blind and visually impaired friends. The trainer in the gym will use me as an example or as a specimen for his patronizer, the people that will come in and need a trainer. Mm-hmm. He will make me perform whatever he want them to do. And when that volunteer met with one of the Capital Rowing Club adaptive coach, they talked and she was like, I have someone who will be perfect for your team. And I love the sport. Why? Because it has this finesse about it. Because at the point I was thinking of going into boxing, I just needed to channel my energy into one sport. Just 6 weeks into rowing, I went for a competition. I came first. 7 months into it, I went for another competition. I came first. And right there, they said, and I'm an elite rower with a 3.17 split on the erg. And I got a sponsorship to go for an international competition in Boston called Crash Bees. And going there, I came back as a silver medal winner, and ever since then it's just been one competition to the other, one medal to the other. I got a bunch of them right now, and I am looking forward to representing Nigeria at the year 2020 Olympics, because I couldn't go last year because the Nigerian team wasn't complete. They need 4 people in the boat, and I am the only Nigerian that is a para rower that I know. So for me to compete in a para Olympics, we have to be 4 in the boat. So hopefully by 2020, we'll be complete. And if not, I will go for the Olympic qualifying tryout at Boston for the United States.
That's excellent. That's an excellent story. Now, we are going to wrap, and obviously you've done a motivational show. So I want you to leave our listeners with what keeps you so positive and so excited about life despite the challenges that you've had to overcome with your blindness.
I think as the vision that I have something to give. It's a vision that there is something about me that I've got to give out. And knowing my situation, I've got to push the envelopes whichever way that I can to get to that level that I need to be. So I believe that no matter what the situation is, I have this saying that I carry in my head ever since when the vision came in, because at the point I was depressed, and then I realized it's never even my low vision back then, but the vision that I have in my head that, oh, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that, I'm going to be this motivational speaker. And so I came up with this stuff that says, life is anything but fear, and enjoying her to the fullest. You've got to make good use of every thing she gives to you in the moment. So That's one thing that I go by. No matter what happens, make the most of it.
That's fantastic. Thanks for being here. My guest today has been senior Howard University student Ibrahim Onefiko. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne Frederick on the Howard University Radio Network.